Okay, today's daf is a kuf chav ches, and we're right on the first word of the daf. Gimel be'elul tafshin samach. Avolo et hatevel. So now the Mishnah lists cases of various foodstuffs that is also to move. So tevel, being as you can't be mitaken on Shabbat, it's mukta. It's not roi lachila. Says the Gemara is not rather obvious. Pshita, lo tzricha b'tevel tovu mil rabbanan kigon shezaru ba'atzik sheno nakuv. We're talking about tevel, which is only drabbanan tevel, such as if it was planted in a container in which there's no opening to the ground. And over there, you might have thought that that doesn't make it tevel manish. Nonetheless, it's usur to use. Isn't that also obvious? I mean, it's talking about tevel d'oraita here. It's basically yesterday's case where the lady came and took his maaser early before truma gedola was taken. However, in this case, he took it after it was already in the pile. If it was idgan, it was chayiv and truma gedola. Whereas yesterday the case was that he took it while it was b'shibolim, and there it became, the fee of truma gedola became subsumed in the trumat maaser that he takes. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that ma'ad teimig yomer le'Rav Papa le'Abaye. We might have thought, as Rav Papa said to Abaye yesterday, once the Torah was matir and said, ma'aser min ha-ma'aser amarti lecha, v'lo truma gedola v'ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. So I might have thought that that would include any case where the levi was magdim, even where he was magdim when the tefuah was in a pile. Kamashvan kedeshani le'abaye. Therefore, the Mishnah is coming to tell us, as Abaye pointed out to Rav Papa yesterday and answered him, that alecha amarka et kol trumat Hashem, and that the Mishnah wants us to know not to make the mistake that Rav Papa asked Abaye. The next case that you're not allowed to move on Shabbat, the foodstuff was lo et ma'atzer hasheni shelo nivda. Isn't that obvious? Shelo nivda, so then I can't use it. Pshita. Ah, no. Point of view is it was nivda. It's just that it wasn't nivda kilchatan. Ma'atzer, it's talking about that you used an asimon for pidyon. And Rachman Amar, v'tzarta ha'keset b'yadecha, davar sheyesh bo tzura. The Torah says that only real money is suitable for making a pidyon, not an unminted coin. So therefore, you really aren't yotzei, but that's a chiddush. Hegdesh also obviously is talking about that you were mechalel, it's just that you didn't do it properly. Kegon shechilolo agave karka. Since the Torah refers to something which is capable of netina miyad liyad, so you can't use real estate for pidyon. And therefore, the Mishnah comes to say that the pidyon wasn't chal here, and therefore remains mukta. The next case in the Mishnah is velo et haluf. We have a list of cases of which the food is not really edible. And here, let's just remember again, the Mishnah said lo et haluf, velo et hachardal, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, well, you can use luf because orvim are, of course, who raises orvim? Only princes raise orvim. So this opens the sugya which we mentioned briefly yesterday, the question of whether something is roi to some people, not roi to other people, whether that's considered to be a concept of mukta also. So this now opens up here in the Braita various examples of such a thing. So Tana Rabbanan, mitotlinat ha-chatzav mipnei shu ma'achal ha-tzviyim. The chatzav, which is a plant that has roots that go straight down, doesn't spread, is actually used for marking tchumim, because you would have, basically after a number of years, you would have the land, even if they tried to remove the marker, you would have underground straight roots, which would mark the demarcation of your field. So the chatzav is not really edible, however deer eat chatzav. You can take raw mustard, and that's a ma'achal for yonim. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, look, I mean, you can even move little pieces of glass, because ostriches eat glass in order to digest it's actually in order to grind. They keep it in the crop, and that grinds the food. So if ostriches would eat it, So says Rabbi Nathan, I don't understand. So, I mean, so then you should, the Mishnah says you can't carry around Chavilei Zemurot, which are branches. Well, I mean, if you have an elephant, the elephant could munch on the branches. I mean, once we're talking about ostriches, for that matter, we might as well go to T-Rexes. I mean, you know, you never know what you might find in the fields. So, Elameyata Chavilei Zemurot Yital Talom, but Teshu Ma'achalet Pilim. I mean, why not carry around the Zemurot also? Reb Shimon Gamliel says, well, look, ostriches are found a lot more often than elephants are. So, na'amiyot shrichit, pili lo shrichit. Omer Abmeimar, well, obviously we're only talking about a case where a guy owns ostriches. I mean, others would say, theoretically, I'll move around the broken glass because if I would have an ostrich. Omer Vashi, no, that doesn't make any sense. How do you think that? When Rabbi Natan said to Reb Shimon Gamliel, why can't you move, therefore, a pile of branches? Chavilei Zemurot Yital Talom Ma'achal Pilim, as if that's a shocking kind of thing to think. Understand, if Lamaisa guy has elephants, well, he can't move elephant food. I mean, clearly we're talking about that he doesn't have elephants, in which case we're talking about that he doesn't have ostriches. And nonetheless, we were matir it. So we must have been talking about ra'ui. In other words, since it's ra'ui for ostriches, even though he doesn't own an ostrich. So then that was his taina. If you're looking for ra'uis, you can say the same thing. It's ra'ui for elephants, even though you don't have to own elephants. But certainly nobody would suggest that if you own an elephant, that what you're not allowed to move around the food for the elephant. That's ridiculous. So it must be a din in ra'ui. Omer Abaye, turns out therefore the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, are all basically saying the same thing. Because what they're saying is that even though in your particular social strata there's no people that raise these things, but I mean, if Lamaisa, you were a prince in the area and you had your little ostriches walking around for effect, you know, in your family zoo and so on, so that would be okay. So that means that Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon, Reb Yishmael, Reb Akiva, all basically follow the Shita, Kulu Svir Lehu, Ko Yisrael B'nei Melachim He. Because Reb Shimon Gamliel, we just said, I mean, a guy doesn't own ostriches, he never thought of owning ostriches, he says over here you can have Michael Orvim in the Mishnah, I mean, who raises Orvim? So clearly it's the fact that you could raise Orvim. And why should a Ben Yisrael not raise Orvim after all? And Rabbi Shimon was, remember the Mishnah we had before, Lagabe not using shemen vered on a wound on Shabbos is very expensive, and therefore it's clearly being done for medicinal purposes. So the Tanakama Aser, it says over there that only B'nai Malachim Sachin on Makoteim shemen vered, according to the Tanakama, if you happen to be a member of the royal family, where Shekin Garkin Shul B'nai Malachim Asur Bechol, they would always be using shemen vered, even if they didn't have a Maka B'Sarayim. So they could use Shemen Vered even on Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, if it's royal of B'nai Melachim, so then Kol Yisrael B'nai Melachim. What if somebody has this dafka for refuah? So therefore, he too is saying the same yisod. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Titania HaResha Yonoh Shimbo Elek Mona. There the Brisa said, somebody was being sued for $100,000. V'lovush itztela bat mea mona. And the guy happens to be wearing this Armani fur jacket, which is worth $10,000. So a guy is being sued, this is very temporary, a guy is being sued for $100 million. He could probably get along without his $10,000 Armani jacket, right? I mean, he obviously can't pay his debts. So we will take his Armani jacket, sell it, and we'll give him a TJ Maxx jacket. I mean, come on. So therefore, what we do is we strip him of his Armani, get him something that is roy for a guy who went bankrupt. Whereas Tana Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Tana Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yisrael Ruyin Lo Ota Yitztila. Any member of Kol Yisrael should be wearing a $10,000 Armani jacket. And therefore, what kind of chutzpah? Strip the guy of his jacket? That's what he's roy. What do you mean, what he's roy? What is it? The amount of money he has? That defines what he's roy. A Ben Yisrael is defined by his money. Sugar. So therefore, all of these shittas basically are assuming that a person's current matzav, what he happens to be wearing, what he happens to be raising, what he happens to be using on his skin, is not really defined in the halacha as that which will determine what he can use on Shabbos or what he can use in cases of suits. So therefore, they're all saying the same shita. But it's a very interesting, by the way, general question. We have a klal that ain halacha kishita. Or it's wherever the Gemara mentions a list of things that holer b'shitas, let's say Rabbi Akiva Rava, something like that. When he uses the nekuda of shita, it means it's an individual shita and is not normative. There's a question among the poskim whether the word kulu svir lahu is a definition of a shita. In which case, we won't paskin like him. Indeed, there are many who don't paskin, even though we paskin the halacha that you can, in fact, move food that is not suitable for you and you don't own such an animal. But there are people in the general area that do have such animals. That would be sufficiently paskin that way. So all kinds of machlokas in what's called the general area, exactly. Some remark, but to say it has to be within walking distance, the general area. Well, they say it's not a function of actual access, but rather determining the way people view such things. It's viewed as animal food, so it's fine. But when it comes going so far as to say, Rav Shimon Gamliel, that even exotic creatures that somebody may have if he would be very rich and so on, that we don't say, because since it says over here, kulo svir lahu, that defines a shita, and we don't pass him like the shita. Which case we wouldn't say, kol yisro ruyum lo yisro yisro.
Shita's yachid.
Yeah, shita means it's a specific, not accepted approach.
Not
dafi yachid. Chavilei kash, v'chavilei etzi. Ton rabban. Chavilei kash, chavilei etzi, v'chavilei zradim. Zradim are bamboo sprouts. Im hitkinan l'machal be'imah metatlinotam, imah ve'im metatlinotam. So if they were now set aside to be used for ma'achal behima, then you can move them. But if not, the assumption of stam, where they weren't specified, is that they're meant to be used for fuel. So therefore the muksa. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer, even so, it would have to be chavilina nitalim b'yad achat, is mutar l'tatala. But if it's b'shtei yadayim, and it's still now in a wrapping that requires two hands to move, then it's still considered to be that it was set aside, even though you thought about it, to use it for ma'achal behima. Chavilei siyav, your packages of savory, or of ezov, of hyssop, of koranit, which is either thyme, some say it's oregano, hichnisam leitzim, so then in mistapik man b'shabbat. So if you set them aside, these are branches basically, so if you set them aside to burn, so then, of course, you can't use them. If you set them aside, l'ma'achal, the grot takes out behima. So obviously, these are all things that can be used for spices for humans. So if you set it aside, l'ma'achal, then mistapek mi'am b'shabbat. And now, the question is, how do you eat them? Because you can't just bite into them. They have to be... Now, here there's a machlokas. They have to be what? L'chora, when we usually use the word molel, molel means to rub something between your fingers, usually until such time as any hard coating falls off. The question is, and that's what we're going to be matur over here, the question is, why isn't that dash? So there's a number of different approaches. Some say there's no dash dioraita unless you use a kli disha. And therefore the Rabbanan, when it's you're using it as part of achila, we're not gozer on a disha that cannot come to your raisa disha. Others say that over here when it says molel, kotemo vir molel, it doesn't mean molel to be dash. It means molel to soften. You don't really remove anything out of something else. Others learn that be'etzem, it would be possible to be chayv on disha, even biyad, but only if you do a lot at a time is considered to be disha. If it's being done as part of achila, so then it's not called disha. Disha means to prepare with disha, not to eat dosh on your way into your mouth. That would be like saying the guy's chewing on something, he's removing the hard part from the soft part. And that's achila, that's not disha. So according to that, we would be matir, even though it would be shayach in doing more than what I needed to be over the d'oraisa, we were even matir. So there's three basic approaches over here. So again, some learn that you're not allowed to do disha b'yadayim, even b'derech achila, and over here the melila is for purposes of softening.
Could they therefore cut a cake with lettuce on it? Is that part of eating all the way down to your hand taking it?
Well, no, not necessarily. We'll see about the writing process. Ubilvat shaloy yiktom b'kli umolel v'or. Ubilvat shaloy yiktom b'kli. You cut up a little piece, but not using kalim. Umolel v'ochel. Ubilvat shaloy yimlo b'kli harbe. You can also rub it between your fingers, but not the way you would if you were doing normal disha. So you shouldn't be molel a lot of them, and you can't use an instrument. Again, some hold the instrument is koveya, some hold the many is koveya. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, b'chachamim omrim, molel b'rashei etzbeotav, v'ochel b'vat shelo yimlo b'yodo harbei. You forget about the kli, you can't even do a lot with your hands. Kederach Shoseh Bechol. But chen, this would be true about amita, and it would be true about pigim, and it would be true about other types of tavlin, all of which require melila. What is amita? Amita is minta, mita, which is ninya, we call nani. Sia, what is sia? Omer of Yehuda, it's tzatri, it's savory. And ezov, that's avrata. Kornit is called kornita. Really? Wasn't there a guy that was running around selling kornita? Ahuda omer lehu, man boy kornita. Everybody wanted to see what it was, so they ran out of this fetish to find out, well, what's this kornita we're talking about all the time? And it turned out to be chashi, which is not the same as kornit.
Earlier in the
sect
that we had a
few
different
sheet
that's
what
the
Azov is on, that's Niskar Tayyar. Yeah, because there's different Azov. Yeah, there's different types of Azov, sure. Many different types of Azov. Elasia actually is called Satri. Azov is what we call Avrata. And Kornita is what we call Chashi, which we start using for oregano. Itma. Basur Maliak, if you have meat that's been salted, Mutr l'taltalo b'Shabbos, so then you can carry around on Shabbos. But if it's busted tafel, it's never been salted, then what are you going to do with it? Well, Ravuna says you can still carry it around. Ravchista said asur l'taltalo. Ravuna says mutr l'taltalo. Why would Ravuna say it's mutr l'taltalo? Wasn't Ravuna a Talmud of Rav? We know Rav, we saw before, held of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds a muksa. So if it's muksa, and you can't use it, so why isn't unsalted meat mukta? Ah, wait a moment. We've been assuming all along that there's one type of mukta. That's not necessarily true. Because you could have a mukta in the sense of you can't use it for eating, but that doesn't mean it's also to move. You can have a mukta, which is mukta for moving. Now there's a lot of different shitas here. Some learn that where the issue is food, so then if it's advar achila, so then the mukta is in the not even moving it. Where that's its only usage. Others learn just the opposite. If it's something that's royal achila, then it's sufficient to distance yourself from the thing by saying, I won't eat it. But since it's royal achila, then I say, I can move it. Okay, there are opposite shitas. So what exactly would we do with it? Basically, we would eat it. In other words, since it's possible, especially nowadays, it's very, it's actually very much in style. What do they call that? Beef tartare, where you cut it very, very thin, and it's like sushi, basically, for fish. You do the same with meat. You cut the meat very thin, and it's eaten raw. The fact that it wasn't salted at all is not a problem. Just as the scufa brings a raya from this Gemara, you see from here that unsalted meat is perfectly kosher, even though it's full of blood. Because the only time that we aser meat which isn't salted is if it's cooked. And in the cooking, the blood comes out and is absorbed. But Dana Evorim, that was never Poresh, the Torah never answered. So it's perfectly okay to eat raw meat. In which case, over here, Lamaisa, the Basar, would have a usage.
No.
Pastrami? I see you've never been in South Africa. This is what people eat over there as a...
Biltong.
Yes, exactly, biltong. I mean, they make it in their houses, they sell home units for that. It's incredible. You walk into 7-Eleven, that's what you buy. Here they have a little bit of beef jerky. But over there, that's what people literally, like over here they eat potato chips. Over there they eat biltong. You have every type. You walk into stores, you can have giraffe, don't ask what they have over here. In the parks when they call, that's what they do with the meat. They sell it as exotica in the tourist shops. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but this is maliach that it's not a finished product. It's salted, meant to be motzi sadam.
Raw meat that you salted.
But I must tell you, I had some of this raw meat there, so it's really delicious.
even though when you chew it, what comes out in your mouth,
yeah,
that's not their parish.
Right. It's not reabsorbed.
What?
It's not reabsorbed, yeah.
It's not considered the parish. In their mouth, all sorts of things
belong to them. Okay. And indeed, so when it comes to books of the Taltel, the Yod Sev, like Reb Shimon, we're only talking about moving it over here. Reb Chista says that it's usher to move it. How could that be? Reb Yitzchak Bar Ami came to Reb Chista's house and he saw that there was this duck. We'll see now that it's very dependent on what it is. He saw that there was a duck that hadn't been cooked, raw duck, and they were carrying it from the exposure to the sun into the shade. And Reb Chista was telling them, ladies, chisaron kiska chazina hacha, I see my wallet is getting ignored around here. In other words, he was the one who had basically told them to move it out of the way. So apparently he didn't know it was muktzah, so how could he say over here that meat is muktzah? And when it came to the duck, he allowed them to move it. Yeah, because duck is chazirun. So duck is easily eaten when it's just cut up into thin pieces. But muktzah, so that isn't the derech.
What is umtzah?
Umtzah is raw duck. Tanur Rabbanan, dog maliach mutar l'tatlo, a salted fish is okay to move, but duck tafel, which is raw and not salted, also letaltel. Basar ben tafel ben maliach muter letaltel.
This was before sushi became very
popular. Yeah, no question about it. In other words, clearly the usage of a thing determines whether it's considered to be food for humans or not. And Tana Rabbanan mitzaltel in etat samot. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of muktzah, and even if these are atzamot which did not have meat on them even from yesterday, but since they're perfectly good for Fido, even though you don't own a dog, or for Pookie, Pookie eats bones. I thought he only eats steak.
He loves chewing.
So since it's okay for a dog, so therefore, even if you don't own a dog, as we said, it's a dover that's mutsui in this place, so then you can move in on Shabbos.
You have no intention of giving to this?
No intention. They're just a shayla what shame is. Shame ma'achal be'mach, shame ma'achal chayam. Again, as we saw earlier, I think you came in a little bit late, but as we saw earlier, there were shaylas about how far that goes. So some reject the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel, but even exotic animals, we don't say kol b'sof and imalach. Machlok is between the modern poskim as to, I mean, it's very nogea questions like shells and things like that that are on the table. Where they're ma'achal behemah, you don't have any behemah.
So I'm not
don't know if Behemoth is anywhere near you, that you're going to say you're going to move. You ate a bunch of dates, you know, of the Galilee. You say, because they're Machal Behemoth, therefore I can move them. But Lamaisa Reb Shlomo Zalman was Matir. Those kind of things. Yeah. So I mean, there are a lot of questions how to be Magir exactly, but apparently those things that Chazal would call Deya as Machal Behema are so defined. If they're nowhere in your area that they have such things, so then Enochinam, it has to be. But what defines your area already is another question.
A dog won't eat Vashar Tafuach, a bony would eat, and why do you have to be a Chayav?
Tosu says that, Kash. Why don't we just say that it's Machalik Lavim? So it's interesting. Tosfos says because of that Basut, I didn't even say Basut Tafua, you're ahead of me. You jumped ahead, but it's okay. Basut Tafua, it's alright. We live in the future, we live in the past. We're here in Yerushalayim, you can't say you're stuck in a particular moment of time. But let's just go back for a moment in time so I can hear what I said. Basut Tafua, if the meat. The Rashi says Basatafel means it's rotten. Not just that it's about to turn bad. It's rotten. So you're allowed to move it. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? Dogs will eat Basatafel. I mean, we always say. It's beyond Nifsalachilas Adam. So what do we have to change from the bones to the Basatafuah? Therefore, Tosfos says the Basatafuah is not Saruach. The way Rashi is saying, it's roi to the person. It needs to be cooked well to take away its elements that are unpleasant. Therefore, it's not roi on Shabbos at all. But he's not going to give it to a teled. So cook it after Shabbos. So it isn't therefore roi a teled. He won't give it to a teled. To a chaya, he'll give it already.
Because
it's chashiv. The dogs are a dime a dozen. Okay. Mayim Megulin. Who can drink Mayim Megulin? Cats. Nibbeshem Rulin Lechatul. Reb Shimon Gamliel says no. Mayim Megulin for sure are Asur. Because Kolatzman Asur La Shautan. I'm not allowed to leave Mayim Megulin in your house. Because we don't, what are you going to say? You'll give it to the cats. And what if your kid comes around and drinks it? And Mayim Megulin is viewed as when they used to have snakes and various things in the home. So any liquids that are attractive to such an are also because of a sakana. She says, you certainly can't move it if we have to leaving it in your house.
I see people who have put the negobasa next to the bed. I notice that they very, very often try to cover up the water, which the cup which is full of the water. Perhaps because of this idea. No one knows. You're not finding it. Why should you cover it up? Why should you have to cover up? Sorry.
Well, you don't use Mayim Megulin for washing either. I'm saying if you're makban on Mayim Megulin, we're not makban on Mayim Megulin because the shrotzim aren't nimsayim benim. But if you're makban on Mayim Megulin, b'cheshish maybe have a sore, maybe it'll go into your it'll go into a puncture.
Tell the snakes and
stuff. Well, yeah. You have all kinds. Yes. Poison. Poisonous.
I don't know.
Oh yeah. I always cover. If you don't, you certainly can. But if you can't drink it, unless you check it very carefully afterwards, you'll usually find tiny bugs and stuff in the water that you don't want to cover. As we saw earlier, there's a question of whether you're allowed to be metaltel a kli letzarek, something that you're not allowed to be. Before, we had two pirush on this mishnah. Either that the mishnah is saying that even though I'm not allowed to move a chick on Shabbos, nonetheless, it's not a problem to put a basket down in front of an area where a chick needs to get off of a shelf down to the ground or something to eat. even though I'm moving something, Litzurah, something that I couldn't move itself. But if, Lamaisa, you hold, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that you're not allowed to be Metalto Lekli Litzurah, Dover Shein Metalto, then he would have to learn the case was Bitzurah to Mekoma. In other words, I moved it anyway. Once I have it in my hand, there's no problem. Now I'm putting it in this location. Tarnagolet Shabarcha. I suppose you have a Tarnagolet that ran out of the house into the chatzer. You're not allowed to pick it up to bring it back in because it's a mukhtar. But you can push it. So Dolchinota, you push it, Achetikanes, until it gets in to the house. And midadin agalim v'sayachim, you could take a young calf, or you could take a young donkey, and you can be madadit. Madadit means you take your two hands, as opposed to just pushing. You hold it and push, forcing its legs to move, like you do on a child. You take a child that isn't capable necessarily of walking, mamish, and push the child, or hold the child up, and it moves its legs. Right? So an isha can be midada et bina. So too, a woman would be allowed to be midad her child. This is talking about even in Rishut HaRabim. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, but when is that said? Eimatai v'zman shu notel achat u miniach achat. That's only if he'll move his feet. If he doesn't move his feet, imaya gorer, if you're dragging a child, then you've got a problem of carrying. Because then you're carrying him. If he doesn't know how to walk, then we don't even say achai no seyat atzmo.
Because it does.
There's no seyat atzmo, and therefore you could come lead a actual carrying on Shabbos. Omer Yehuda Marav, Beimash naflala amat hamay, if an animal falls into a well, mevi charimuch satoto miniach tachteha, you could bring blankets and pillows to put it under the animal, and the melta. If it manages to climb up and out of the bar, that's very nice. But you certainly get it away from the water. Didn't we just have that also before? That an animal that falls into a well, you make sure that you give it what it needs to eat and so on. So, I mean, parnasa, you can give it what to eat. But karimuch satod lo. No, lokash, how the efshar b'parnasa, how the yefshar b'parnasa. Okay, it depends what the situation is. I mean, if it's efshar b'parnasa, if all that's needed to do is to send it down something to eat, fine. But if that's not going to help, the low, maybe karim v'chzatot u'meinir tachteah. Aye, the problem is, even if you hold that you can be metal to litzer v'dovashenu nitaho, how about the fact that if you throw down something, the animal will sit on it, and then you're being mabato kli meyachano? We said bito kli meyachano is similar to soser. So how are you allowed to throw something down to be mabato kli meyachano? That's because sofa mabato kli meyachano de rabbona. The rabbona were the ones who asked bito kli meyachano. Tsar balachayim is a diraisa. So we're going to be machmer on the mukta and not be machmer on the diraisa of tsar balachayim. So better to be over on the mukta, so that the animal will be comfortable. So ati di oraita v'dachi d'rabbanan. No, this is in terms of mukta. This piece, obviously, you can't carry. Yeah, or it's the same rishus from one to the other. They're both are carmelite, whatever the case was.
You had earlier gemara that b'monei atzar from your animal on Shabbos is a chelak mishvitas behemtzer.
Well, not really. But that Monea Tsar is included in that which the Behem is allowed to do. It's a different point. Tarnagolet Shabarcha. I see you've been affected by your trip.
I got a 4:30 this morning. I'm very busy since I'm in the morning. I went to another shiur early this morning already. Plus the other one.
Wonderful. Tarnagolet Shabarcha. So here the Tarnagolet ran away, and it seems in the Mishnah that you cannot be Madeid a Tarnagolet. It says you can push it. Why can't you hold its wings and force it to walk? So it says here, Mashma, the Dafka Dochi, but Midadim Lo. And that, in fact, is brought out very clearly in the following braita, Tanina lahad Tana Rabbanan, midadin behima chayav of bechatzer, avolo et atarnegolet. The one thing that you can't be mimaded is a tarnegolet. Why is that? Tarnegolet, my time alone, what's so special about chickens? Chickens have a strange reaction that when you try to hold them, they will lift their feet off the ground. Mm. And because of that, you'll end up carrying them. So then there's no way to be madad without carrying. Other things, when you hold them, they walk. You'll take a duck and you'll hold up its wings. It will start walking the same way a child will start walking when you hold up its wings.
Even a rooster, just a hand, like just the...
No, but probably the male and the female. I've never tried it. Tani chada. Midadin behim achayev of bechotzer, avlo b'rishut harabim. And a isha can even be midadat, but not even b'rishut harabim. Of course in the chotzer. V'tanya idach. Now the other bride says, "Eino krim beima v'chayev of bechotzer." Here it says you can't pick them up. Avo dochin behem. You can push them, which is mashma only pushing. Aguf akasha. Wait a second. Before you ask me the contradiction between the two statements, I mean the second statement, the chal doesn't make sense. When you say eino krim, that means you can't lift up entirely. Mashma that you can be midadet, right? Then you say, but you can only be dochin, which means that you cannot be modeh. We have three levels, as we saw in our Mishnah. Pushing, then, how would you say it to be
modeh?
I mean, is there an English word for holding something up in a way that it walks? I mean, we call it walking.
Escorting.
Okay.
Assisted walking.
That's the modern word, yeah. Apparently, tarnegolets are walking challenged. So, okay. But anyway, so isn't that a contradiction? I mean, make up your mind. Either you can only be doche, or you cannot be okay. But you can't say both. Because it's being meramish two cases. The seifa is referring to a tarnegolet. It says, by the way, these tarnegolets are tricky creatures. If you're going to do a shechita on a tarnegolet, what you better do, either you push that tarnegolet down so that its feet are bent, or either that, like Moshino Lekari Ba'ara, inami nedal omido, or hold them up in the air. Because if not, what they do is they have a tendency, what they can do is they can suddenly push their feet down very hard, and then bigorim, as you're cutting, the bigorim akiras the simonim by pulling down on themselves. And therefore, you have to be careful when you do shechita to do it either push down against the ground or holding them up in the air. You cannot actually do the leida of an animal on Yom Tov because it's heavy tircha. It's an awful lot of work to accomplish a leida in an animal. Anybody again who's read through the James Herriot series knows well the descriptions of the sweating and the huffing and the heaving and the whoa. It really sounds like it's a disaster. Avo misa'adin, however, you can help them. Now the Gemara is going to explain what is meant by helping. When it comes to a human, you can actually deliver a baby on Shabbos. You can call from outside of the tchum if you need to call a midwife. You can do chilul Shabbos in general. We'll see what that's coming to mean, what in general means. You're also allowed to tie the cord, but according to Tanna Kamma, not to cut it. You can simply leave the baby on the mother until after Shabbos, until the delivery of the placenta, and then you'll cut after Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afchotchim. You can actually cut. V'kol tzarchei milah, osin b'Shabbat, and anything that's necessary to do to take care of the milah, you're also allowed to do on Shabbos. Now, says the Gemara, you said you cannot actually do the laid on an animal, even on Yontov, because of Tircha. But you can help. When you say help, what do you mean? Ketzad misadan. So Rabbi Yehuda says it means you can support the delivered infant that it shouldn't fall. So ochezet tavlat shelo yipol la'aretz. Rabbi Nachman says, no, you can do more than that. You can be dochek bibasar kate sheyetze havlad, although you can't put your hand into the uterus and help the child out, but you can push from the outside on either side and let it make it easier for the animal to let the blood out. And Tanya Kabasit Rav Yehuda, Ketzad Misa'adin, or Chazinat HaVlad, Shelo Yipol La'aretz. The Braita has Rav Yehuda's approach, that the Sa'ad is in terms of what to do after the birth, not how to actually help the birth. So you can support the child, you can nofeach lo b'chotmo, you can get its breathing started by forcing air down its lungs. V'notein lo dada toch piv, you can get it to start nursing by putting a nipple in its mouth, k'dei she'inak. Om Reb Shimon Gamliel, I can tell you that we used to be merachamin, hayinu ala beimato rabbi yonta. If it was a kosher animal, we would do things to get the mother to react maternally to the newborn. Now, sometimes you have rejection by the mother, and then you need to do something to turn the mother on. So what did we do? So Abaye says, well, one of the tricks is you bring a handful of salt and you put it around inside the uterus, which is very painful. And that sort of reminds her that she just went through a lot of pain to have a baby. She should think about that. And she ought to go and take care of her baby. So Kadesha discord Sahara with Rachem. Of course, there may be other stimulating elements that are involved here besides the animals thinking over her path in life. But in any event, it does seem to work.
It's not called
Sarbal Chai. No, it probably stimulates hormones. Mizalfin may shil yal gabe vlad. What you can also do is you can take the placenta, soak it in water, and then pour the water over the child, which gets now the smell. The mother now will identify the child as its own instead of as a parasite, and maybe that will get it to start nursing. Why did you say Dafkev was a tohar animal? Is there something wrong with tummy animals? I mean, why can't you care for your tummy animal? That's because tmeya lo merachka vlada. So it's only tohar animals that reject their children. But a pig would never reject a child. I mean, come on. This, of course, is the way of the world, isn't it?
That's why they have better kebabi.
Yeah, in general. I mean, anything that is typically natural, moralistic, is always found by tummy and more than tar. Yeah, sure. The imarach of blood, and the rare case that it does, there's nothing to do about it. Lo makarva. You can't get it back, so there's no point in doing any sort of trick. Mialdina ta'isha. Now, you already said mialdina ta'isha. You already said korin l'chachama mimakom l'makom. I mean, that included chil Shabbos. So when you say mechalalina le'ata Shabbat, what are you saying? What additional thing is mechalalina le'ata Shabbat? Latuyeh had to turn around on it. It means even things that are purely psychological and are not part of the Leda are also demand Chilul Shabbat. And we see in the Pesach in the Braita, like Latriya de Tana Rabbana, Im Haitat Tzricha L'Ner, Chaver Tamad Leket L'Tamer, Im Haitat Tzricha L'Shemen, Chaver Tamer Biya L'Shemen, preferably Biyad, so that it's with a Shinoi, it's not the way to carry a liquid through Rosh HaRabim, is on your hand.
Yeah.
The liquid without a container? Vim eno sipek biyad, if you don't have enough place in your palm, so then pour a bunch of oil into her hair and then let her carry it in her hair. And if that's not enough, eno sipek bisara, so then fine, let her bring a bottle of oil. What Is that, I mean, why not? Why is that like a separate case? Isn't that pshita? I mean, people get terrified of the dark when they're sick. And so, I mean, obviously, you can have a real serious hysteria set in here. Ah, the case is she's blind. That's the case. In which case, it's clearly entirely psychological. So, she's worried, if she's blind, she's worried that maybe people won't see what she needs. So she feels very uncomfortable if there isn't a light in the room. So therefore, it's interesting because Tosfos asks from the case of a chola on Yom Kippur, who feels that he needs to eat. So there you have, you know, certainly at least a shita, that you're not machil a chola without asking a doctor. Even though, I mean, the person may also go into hysteria if he feels you're not taking care of him. So why is that different than over here? We don't ask a doctor. She says, I need it, and you give it to her. So Tosfos says, very interesting, that it's clear that there's a much stronger psychological component in a woman who's just given birth, and there isn't a normal chola. And therefore, we're very makbid to avoid any taint of hysteria. And if she thinks she needs it, then just give it to her. That's the point. Although, because it's not objective, as we saw, it's better to do whatever you're doing with a shinui. Whereas with a normal chola, we never would have said this. We never would say, bring it with a shinui to Rishut HaRabim. To Adarava, we'd say, bring it as rapidly and effectively and efficiently as possible. If you're going to sit there and make a shinui, maybe you'll delay it for a moment. And because nefesh, you can't delay for a second. But since over here, it's not really objective, so we try to do as much as possible with a shinui.
Yeah.
So then why doesn't the Tanakhama allow for the building for the Akhama? That doesn't affect the psychological?
No, we'll talk about the Quran. You might think, since she can't see anyway, so why should I light a fire? Therefore, the chiddush is that it gives her a sense of security. And she figures, if there's light here, then I know I'm going to be better cared for. And that's what I want to know. Now, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. You said, instead of bringing her a bottle of oil, put it in her hair, but then you'll have to squeeze it out of the hair. So you're going to be over on Shchita. So if you're going to be over on Shchita, you might as well just do the Hotzah the normal way. Well, what's the point of doing the Hotzah with a Shinui, in which the only way to use it is by squeezing the oil out of the hair? Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Amar Tavayu, Ein Shchita B'Siyah. You can't really be over on Shchita with hair. Because the hair is hard, it doesn't absorb anything. It's an extension of the concept of shchita min rabbanan, because after all, the liquid is maintained between the hairs. But it's not that it's real shchita. So then if we say, do it that way. Rav Ashi says, even if you hold the eish shchita b'sear, it doesn't mean to put it in her hair, it means to put a bottle in her hair. Maybe you have a kli derech sa'ara, which is because since that's clearly not the way you normally carry, by hanging things by your hair, the common answer is, you know, whatever you can do with a shinui, you're supposed to do with a shinui. Okay, tomorrow we will learn what the shiur is, how long this goes on, giving her a din of a chaya, of a woman who's delivered. Right. We'll see that there's different levels of how far we're ready to go. To the Dima Kala Shabbos.